But you know, I need to comment on that tip you gave me regarding the hide and distracting items feature, the one that Apple included in the
Yeah.
latest iPhone update. I use it every day now.
Safari update. Safari update.
Safari, I don't know what it was, whatever the hell it was, I use it every day. And it's really improved my online reading experience. I just wanted to let you know that. And I've shared it with a couple other people.
All right. Well, Catherine is referring to a new feature in Safari that is called Hide Distracting Items. And it's accessed through the address bar. Top left of the address bar is a little icon that looks kind of like a hamburger icon, but also with a square on top of it. But anyways,
Yes.
it's all the way on the left on the address bar. If you click on that, you get a couple of options there, but the first one is Hide Distracting Items. And what that allows you to do is enter a edit mode for the web page you're currently looking at. And as you mouse over the different parts of the web page, they'll highlight in blue or outline in blue, and if you click on it will disappear that thing. Like if you have a block of ads, it will disappear that block of ads. If you have a video that you don't want to see, it'll disappear that video. And then you can go back and tell it you're done with the editing, and then anything that you made poof away will stay away. It's not persistent though. If you go back to the web page later, if you reload it, it will forget what you did.
Right, it does. It does.
Getting rid of the distractions.
Right, and the
It's
poofing is the fun part because it like
yeah.
sparkles away like Tinkerbell. It is so
And
cute. I just love it.
of course you need a Mac with Safari. So
But I've shared that with some Mac and Safari users, and I didn't know it was Safari. I thought it was an iPhone update because I'm constantly on the iPhone. But irrespective of what it is, I freaking love it, and it's improved my online reading experience. Like 1000%.
I am genuinely shocked that you figured out how to use it.
Oh my God, no, I love it. I use it every day. Anyway,
It's a very niche thing.
yep, that's all.
And I guess it just bears repeating, though, how
What?
annoying PC people can be, PC people.
How so, James?
My wife has this job, and they're forcing her to use a PC, and they bought her a brand new PC. And just to
Okay.
run the web apps that she's running, it can't. It literally can't, so they had to buy her another one. And that one barely keeps up. And it as these are brand new, pretty fancy Dells. And the thing, it goes for maybe 2.5 hours on a battery charge, and the fans are going like crazy all the time. And she's like, "Why can't I just use my Mac? It's all web stuff. I mean, it's not like you're installing any apps on my actual computer." And they're like, "Oh no, Macs are terrible. Macs suck." And she's like, "Yeah, but on my MacBook M1, everything I've tried all this stuff, it runs fine." And they're like, "What are you talking about? Is that like one of the new ones?" And like, "No, that's from 2020.
It is 2020 because I have one.
The cheapest MacBook you could buy from 2020 outperforms a decently spec Dell that you can buy right now today."
Oh, yeah.
And the MacBook Air is silent. It does it silently. It's just so embarrassing. And
Yeah, oh, I have a MacBook Air, right.
they just refuse to accept it. 'Cause they're PC guys, and they won't even look at the thing.
I know.
I keep telling her, "You know what? You should just bring your MacBook in and start using it and just not tell them."
But is it compatible with their systems? I mean, can she do that? She can't do
Yeah,
that.
everything they use is web-based, right? She's doing the video calls.
Oh, it's web-based. Okay.
It's all web-based, so it doesn't
It
matter.
doesn't matter, right?
It's absolutely crazy that the newest PCs can't keep up with the 5-year-old cheap MacBook
Well, right. I mean, once I
Air.
went app like Mac, I didn't go back. I mean, I just, and it's really hard for me to work on a PC when I was still working, and it felt clunky to me. It just felt clunky.
I think they've only gotten worse over time. I remember when I started in the late 90s, really seriously getting into computers. I was kind of hopping around the different operating systems. I was at graduate school, so I was working on a Macs at the in the computer lab, and I was working on PCs, and Windows 95 was out by that time. And then I found the gold standard of operating systems, which is called Windows NT, which was kind of like Windows 95, but for professionals.
I remember
God,
Windows NT. Yeah.
that was the best operating system because there was no bullshit at all with it. It's just like, we're gonna make the fastest, most reliable operating system we can for professionals. And they really did. That thing was amazing. It never, ever crashed. It never slowed down. It just ran everything perfectly.
Nice.
And one of the things was because it was a different operating system from Windows 95, it didn't run actually everything because it was skewed more towards professional applications like CAD modeling, which meant you kind of had a distraction-free computer environment because you couldn't load all the nonsense. Like games generally didn't run on it. Boy, that was good stuff. So I by no means hate Microsoft. I still think Windows NT was probably my favorite operating system of all time.
Interesting. What happened?
Followed
They just,
by,
it's gone, right?
well, what they did, no, it's basically still there. Unfortunately, they murdered it. They had Windows 95 and they had Windows NT, and it was kind of silly to have two operating
Right.
systems for desktop environment. So they merged them into something called Windows 2000, which was a good operating system, but it had some of the kind of the downsides of Windows 95, but it had all the power of the Windows NT. And then they slowly merged that or evolved that into Windows XP, which was, really the beginning of the end of any decent operating systems that Microsoft ever put out. And that became Windows 7, which became Windows 8, which became not Windows 9, but Windows 10, because they skipped 9. And now we have a Windows 11, and it's really gotten kind of
Okay. Well,
crummy
I
over
don't know
there.
anything about it.
So tell me something that you do know something about.
We didn't podcast last Friday because I had what could only amount to being a migraine. I was really concerned because I had planned to go overnight to Tucson last weekend, and I didn't want the headache to impact my plans. So I just rested and super hydrated, and then I was cured. So I went down to Tucson for a fashion show called Playful Paradox at the Pima Community College West Campus Center for the Arts. My good friend Susan's daughter, Jess, invited me, and Jess was also stage manager. And it was really cute because as an alumni designer, she was able to show several of her pieces of her upcycled bridal gown collection. It's adorable. She transforms vintage wedding dresses into really whimsical bridal fashion. And they're just resplendent with beaded accents and crystals. And it's just wonderful. So I'm not sure if she's listing any of the dresses on her Etsy site. Perfectly classy, but it is worth checking out. She has a lot of really cool upcycled and vintage items. But anyway, we've been talking about art, commenting since 2021. And we mostly shit on the whole product. Don't you agree? In a way,
I wouldn't say the
James.
whole product. We take aim at, as we pointed out in our last video, we really, or video, in our last podcast, what we really were attracted to was the absolute nonsensical bullshit that was happening in the art world because it was unparalleled anywhere else. The high-end art world is, you can't find more. Gosh, if I had thought about this ahead of time, I could have made a good Star Wars comment because, Los Eisley, where they started off in Star Wars, was like the home of the depravity and whatnot. So I could have made a really good comment, but
Right,
I'm not smart
right.
enough to make that on the fly.
Mos Eisley Spaceport. You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy. We must be cautious.
But
No, that's okay. That's okay.
the
But no, because it's
high
just
end art world is like the Los Eisley of modern culture. It's like where you
right.
can, more scum and villainy cannot be found in anywhere except for in the high end art world.
Right. So anyway, so basically I'm like thrown into this like fashion slash fiber arts community. I didn't have any expectations when I went. I really thought it was just going to be just a little show. It was really, really well done. It was so professionally executed. It rivaled anything. I mean, it was seriously a runway show. They did everything. Our little VIP charcuterie drinks and swag bag situation to the actual show, which focused on the PCC student designers, like from their beginners to their advanced classes. Interestingly, Goodwill of Southern Arizona also partnered with them, and they have this Goodwill Recycle project. So there were a lot of designs of repurposed fashion that was presented by the Fall 24-25 textile class. And so the entire lineup was just, it was just amazing. It was like Project Runway amazing. And there were several pieces that could really be worn, I thought, on like a red carpet event. I mean, it was that freaking good. And so in terms of like commenting on art, I mean, there was one collection that I really want to give a shout out to. Because I felt like I was witnessing art in the flesh and moving just right in front of me. And I don't know why I got so emotional, but it really affected me. It touched me emotionally while viewing it. It was this designer who was originally from Afghanistan. Her name's Frohar Akbari. Her latest collection, NYX, I'd like to quote her her write-up about it. It was inspired by the rare black flower of Turkey and the Greek goddess of night, symbolizing the beauty that exists even within deep darkness. It was well done and truly inspiring. The entire collection was black, or shades of black, but it was so unbelievably executed and beautiful. And it was like light coming out of darkness, particularly in light of some of this crazy stuff that's happening politically with, you know, education and Harvard being under attack. That has just gotten to me like nothing else. And so in closing about this fashion show, all I wanted to say was well done, Frohar Akbari. It was amazing. I think she has really a future in the fashion world. And in terms of creative expression, what I saw on the stage, it was really civilized. It was really why, as a country, we need to support the arts and personal expression in higher education. You know, because I found it emotional. I think it moves us forward. It doesn't move us backward. It can move us emotionally. It can make us feel connected. It's a statement that beauty does exist, even in the darkest corners of our humanity. And when brought to light, it just ignites us and makes us better. I mean, sorry to sound so smarmy here. I don't want to be corny, but I think it's important to our soul work. And that's all I want to say. That little fashion show moved me like I've not been moved in a long, long time, James. And I just wanted to share that with you.
Can you describe visually what one of Akbari's pieces looked like?
First of all, it was extremely professional and well done. But like physically, the pieces moved very well with the models' bodies. And they were sculptural and interesting, and they were dimensional. And so she used like floral designs, like that, like emerged off of the actual fabric of the dress, like they were sculptural floral. And there was a lot of use of beads and netting that gave it an incredible dimension and then sparked light into it, because this, you have to know, it was all black. And so when the light hit, like the sparkles of some of these pieces, it lit up. So it was like the model was being lit up from beneath. It was very moving.
That was a good description, and it reminded me something since my internet's been out for a couple of days.
Oh, it has. Wow.
Yes,
okay.
And I've just been sitting here. Well, that's why we're on the phone today, Catherine. Don't play
that
dumb.
That is
with,
true. I'm just pretending I don't know.
Don't
anything.
Play
go
dumb
ahead.
With me. I realize that most times before the podcast, I sit frantically in front of the computer reviewing my notes and catching up and making sure I have everything ready to go, all the tabs open. But today I couldn't do that because I didn't have the internet. And I was just sitting quietly and going through some ideas, and I basically wrote a whole different show in my head. And it seemed probably like it would have been better, but it's too late for that. That ship has sailed. But it just reminded me that quiet time is probably good time. Like sticking your nose on the internet 24/7 and just consuming everything and thinking you may be consuming a lot of data, but that's not a good way to process it. I think it's good to remember mm-hmm. to sit and think. Turning everything off and just thinking about stuff.
Agree. 100%. I have a lot of solitude here.
Yeah, but are you taking advantage of it? I think it sounds to me like you are still just sticking your nose straight up against the internet and letting it just overwhelm you.
You know, certainly with the news, I have had to go on. After the news of Harvard yesterday, I turned off all media. I couldn't do it. I turned on music. I didn't even want to watch Netflix. I didn't want anything coming into the space.
Do you think we could like set an hour or 2 hours or some time frame during the day where we just turn shit off?
I think we all need to turn shit off.
Yeah, I know. But I think it's easy to say that. But unless you make a commitment to it, how do you get to it?
Like you start getting like itchy fingers. It's like, what's happening? What's happening? Or someone will text me and I'll hear the text bing.
See, it's easier
know?
When it's when it's imposed from outside. It's easier because my internet was off. So, I mean, I still have my phone. I still have my phone, but it was easier just to say no to the phone and just sit down and think. Like if I open my laptop without the internet, it's a very different experience.
I know. Like it was like the 80s, right?
I didn't want to say that because I didn't want to sound old like you, oldie. But
well,
yeah,
I don't care. You know, we are. We are what we are. I mean, don't you kind of miss that, like not being accessible all the time?
The irony, though, is that it's not like the 80s, because in the 80s, I could turn on my original Mac that my dad had and my mom. Actually, my mom used it more than my dad. And I could play a video game. Can't do that today, Catherine. I throw on my Xbox, and the first thing every game wants to do is connect to the internet. And so you can't play in them if you're offline.
Oh, you can't? I never was a gamer like that, but I didn't know that.
I have an Xbox, current generation Xbox, and I can't use it when I'm offline. The internet's gone. The Xbox is a pile of garbage.
Wow. I'm not glad that you're having the same internet woes that I have intermittently here. Mm. But it sounds very familiar in a different way. And to have that stripped from you, to be honest with you, James, I had a lot of anxiety. I felt so cut off from society. Like, it is one thing to make that choice to turn stuff off, but to have it ripped from you.
Well, it's not
ripped. I don't know which is better or worse.
I don't think it's quite that extreme to call it ripped, but I think that it would probably be better for you if you did cut off a lot more time, or maybe rather than having a time of day where you'd shut off, inversely, you could have a time of day when you actually turn on. Otherwise, you're turned off. Like in the morning, you can set
that'd
a time
be better.
For news.
That'd be better.
Midday, you can have a time for your K-pop shows or whatever nonsense you want to see from North Korea, whatever North Korean content you want to see.
North Korea.
You damn communist.
Well, that would be none. That would be none. No, I turned on something on YouTube yesterday, and it was just a picture of the Han River and the traffic at like 7:30 in the morning. Actually, it was last evening. It was 7:30 in the morning, South Korea time. And were playing music, and just I was watching the traffic.
Well, the traffic in North Korea is absolutely phenomenal because there is none. It's like COVID all the time.
But just to recap, I mean, when my internet was gone, and it was gone for like over a week. Remember, I was in hell. It was gone. And they couldn't fix it. And then, you know, and people were literally telling me from CenturyLink, I'm like, what am I going to do? And one of the guys said, move. I'm like, what? Move. That's your answer?
I will say this. My son just got internet at his new apartment. And surprising, as a gamer, I was shocked to know that he did this. He got a T-Mobile wireless hub for his apartment. And those are not known.
Is that
you
good?
Can get good speed from them, but they're not known for good ping and throughput and whatnot for things that gamers rely on. But it's only been a day, but he says he's okay with it. So we'll see how that works out. But that's another
interesting
option. I don't know if it's all the way over there on the west side.
It is not. I've checked every other option, and there is no option.
No. Maybe you should move that.
So I hate to even say they fixed it. I'm knocking on wood. You hear me knocking?
Yeah, I don't want to hear
because
that.
Because if this shit goes down again, it is painful. No, I do feel like
what?
It's ripped away from me.
I think that we should probably get some of our cabinet-level people off the internet. Every day I get a little bit of a thrill when I open up Signal. Or as you call it, Sigma, I get a thrill realizing I'm using the same high-level security app that the Secretary of Defense is using. Because we have not forgotten that Hegseth is still using the unsecured, well, not entirely secured, mm-hmm. but completely illegal for him to be using Signal app to communicate all the very special things that the U.S. Defense Department's doing all around the world.
It's craziness.
It does remind me, and your talk does remind me, about a tech tip that I learned yesterday, dealing with my internet outage, having to speak to five different technicians over there at CenturyLink.
Right.
Don't mess around with their chat system or their online app to try to fix your stuff. Just call them. Because I spent well over an hour on the app trying to do some diagnostics and then in their chat, because the chat is mind-bogglingly slow. And then I waited for several hours because they said I was going to get a call to set up an appointment.
Right.
Never got one. So I called up and no one has any idea that I even talked to had a chat. They don't have any record of it. They didn't do anything. It was basically
isn't it mind-boggling?
I just kind of pooped out an hour and a half of my life for no reason.
Yeah, I could waste weeks dealing with the same shit. But I'm going to say something about Hegseth. Why is he leading Christian prayer services at the Pentagon?
Catherine, you can have nuclear weapons, you can have Tomahawk cruise missiles, but really, at the end of the day, don't you just want God on your side, Catherine? You godless heathen.
Well, yeah, I guess.
I mean, if you could have God on your side, that's the way to go, right?
I don't know.
There you go. You see, you got no comeback to that one, do you, smart girl?
Like a prayer. My God, I just find this all so disturbing. I do need a timeout.
Well, like I said, it might be better to have a time on rather than a time out. Just a couple hours at the beginning
maybe,
of the day and the end
maybe.
Of the day when you actually
intergage. Yeah,
when
maybe.
You intergage with
maybe.
The internet.
Intergage. Yep. Oh, my God. Okay. What else we got to talk about today in our little phone call?
Well, I bought a Chevy Bolt this week.
Yes.
I don't know if you're interested in that. And I think it's just another tech tip or market tip or whatever. now is a good time to buy a used Bolt because, you know, the Chevy Bolt was like one of the most popular EVs of its day.
Okay.
And then Chevy killed it. So 2023 was the final year, except after they killed it, there was so much uproar that Chevy came back the next day and said, oh, well, okay, no, no, we're just taking a rest. It'll come back in 2026.
Okay.
You know why the U.S. cars don't sell that much? Because they're bad at designing cars. They have a great runaway success, and what do they do with it? They kill it because it's not a truck. And Ford decided...
Chevy.
Sorry, not Ford.
Yeah.
Actually, Ford and Chevy both decided they weren't going to be making cars anymore. They're just going to be making trucks, regardless of how well they sell. Anyway, my point is that used EVs that are model year 2021 or newer, and they're selling less than $25,000, get a $4,000 tax credit.
Yeah, you were telling me about that.
And that's going to go away next year, almost like guaranteed. So now is a good time to buy because those Chevy Bolts, even though they're great cars, everybody loves as far as EVs go,
right.
Their market value has plummeted. If you need an EV.
Well, can you still get new batteries for them? Wait, hold on. Can you still get can you still get a new battery for it?
You'll be able to get new batteries for at least 10 years. Every car.
Okay.
So when a new car comes out, the U.S. law mandates that the company that made the car, maintain a stock of used parts for at least 10 years.
I see. Okay. Okay. Well, that's good news.
And the battery, you can always rebuild a battery. Batteries are just made up of smaller cells, and you can always rebuild them. And people do. I mean, when you go to buy, when you need to replace your hybrid battery in your Toyota Prius, you're very rarely do people actually buy new batteries. They just buy reconditioned batteries, which is people going and taking old hybrid Toyota batteries and taking the good cells out and swapping out the bad cells for good cells.
Got it. Okay.
Because some cells just never die.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like the cell line.
From that black lady?
Yeah.
So I'm just pulling this out of thin air because I don't remember the details, but a lot of research was done on this cell line.
For interferon cell line.
Yeah, they pulled the cells out of a black lady in the 1950s, and it's been going ever since, and it's like one of the
right,
biggest,
and her family never got an ounce of money for it. Or
one of the biggest science
stories.
It's
kind of like using her body against...
Well, I don't know, but it's not as bad as like trying to regrow a dead musician's brain cells.
That was gross. Or maintain a woman's corpse to, like, hold a baby.
And it's not exactly the same thing. But, you know, psychology, I find, is a little bit off-putting. Because the thing I have a problem with against psychology... Do you like psychology, Catherine?
I have a degree in psychology, James.
Okay, see, the problem I have with you people... you people over there...
I'm choking. Is that hold on. Oh, my God. Go ahead.
The psychology science or research that was done in the late 20th century... turns out can't be replicated. So I don't know if that's really science. I mean, I understand. It seems like it's helping people. I get a little bit uncomfortable around it because it seems like a very, very soft science, which it doesn't have a lot of grounded.
Yeah, it might be. I think there's probably some merit to that.
So like naturally, one of my least favorite topics is the topic that my son is studying in college. He's a psychology major. Okay, that's just natural. That's just what happens with kids. They find your weak points and exploit them.
So that's what his bachelor's is going to be in, psychology?
Yeah, but I feel like he's really trying to do me in because the new apartment complex that he's at now.
That's what I wanted to find out about.
It's called the Warhol.
I know.
And
that's beautiful.
I moved him in there a couple days ago, and as I was leaving the apartment complex, in my rearview mirror, I could just barely make out what was painted on the side of the building. Because I didn't make the assumption that it had anything to do with Andy Warhol. I mean, there are a lot of Warhols out there, and why would an apartment complex be named after some artist, artist?
Right.
But no, as I was leaving in the rearview mirror, I saw this big portrait of a little white guy wearing sunglasses, and I'm like, oh God, no, it is Andy Warhol. Oh.
It is Andy Warhol. Oh my God.
Oh,
I thought you were going to say a soup can. Oh my God, that's hilarious.
Yeah, my life is a big joke to you. Thank you. I'm glad I can give you some amusement.
Well, parts of it certainly are. I mean, that's just... So anyway.
And you're supposed
to
be my friend,
art.
Catherine.
I know. It all goes back to Warhol, doesn't it, with this podcast? We started it... we live in it now.
I don't remember. No. The thing that started this podcast, Catherine, was
what?
Free Hug Bear. Don't tell me you don't remember Free Hug Bear.
I do remember Free Hug Bear. That's our first episode, by the way, folks. It's like, if you listen to it, listen to Free Hug Bear. It was probably still one of my favorite episodes we ever did.
So,
because I had no clue what we were doing.
Yeah, we started off strong and then just kind of slid into obscurity.
Uh-huh.
But that perfectly encapsulated what the podcast is about. We take the stupidest news in the art world and share it with you.
Right.
That's why we're here.
Right. Except the fashion show wasn't stupid. It was delightful.
Well, I wanted to point out earlier when I was being so negative about our podcast is that we do occasionally do Artists of the Week. We do artist retrospectives. We do, in-depth dives on artists. We did Louise Nevelson, and I got a whole new appreciation for her when I did that because I actually stopped and looked at her work. And we've done other artists like Rockwell. I always kind of liked Rockwell, but I didn't really respect him that much because I always just thought he was an illustrator for the 1950s America until I actually looked at him, and then his work is amazing. So,
well, actually, you changed my mind about Rockwell because I was just kind of it seems something so familiar that you always saw,
exactly,
that I never appreciated the nature of the work.
It seems so 1950s cliche.
Yeah, it was cliche.
It's not cliche. If you actually look at the work and the body of the work, it's really not cliche, but it seems that way because that's generally, it's like background music. It's like the Four Seasons. If some dummy in Hollywood wants to make you think that, you're going to a fancy restaurant, what music are they playing? The Four Seasons. It's like there's one piece of classical music and it's the Four Seasons.
Right.
It's that kind of nonsense.
Or any movie about Vegas, they just play Dean Martin.
I don't watch those kinds of movies.
How lucky can one guy be? That's y'all always hear that. Any scene about Vegas, show me something where I'm wrong.
I can't because I don't watch those kinds of movies because I have moral compass.
Maybe someday you will. It'll just come upon you. It's not like you have to seek it out. It's a scene in a film. So now we're way off track.
Yeah, this is stupid.
So what else are we going to talk about?
There's nothing else to talk about. We're done.
Oh, there's so much to talk about. Okay, bye.
Well, you can talk to yourself. Do you want to continue? You can continue talking to the mic. Just let me know when you're done.
No, I'm done.